Today we're going to talk about, well, understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. First of all, I have a question. Is it a person or a thing? I'm waiting for the rest of you. I have a few people talking to me. I ask, is it a person or an it? A thing? This is a good conversation right now. The Holy Spirit is a person. If you relate with it as an it, it's very easy to, I don't want to hear that business. This is God speaking to us through His Spirit. And I want to start us out in Acts chapter 2 and talk a little bit. I want to read a little bit in Acts chapter 2 how we become Christians. And I want then to develop this conversation. So I don't have points. I'm just going to be talking here. And I hope and pray that you can figure them out as we go along. Amen. So in Acts chapter 2, and if you are a disciple, I want you to pay close attention to what we're talking about. If you're not a Christian, you will see what happens, how you get the Holy Spirit coming your way. Amen? Amen. In verse 36, the Bible says, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. So this is Peter preaching to the people after Jesus had been crucified and then buried and raised the third day. He tells them, yes, the one you crucified is both the Lord. That's the Lord of your life. That means He's the master of your life, that you submit to Him. He's your the Messiah, personal Savior. He died for your salvation. This person you crucified, He's telling them that. And then the Bible says that, as it says, where was I? Hold on. 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this God whom was made. 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What happened in that conversation while he was preaching? They came to a realization that we've done something wrong. So they ask from a very contrite space, what shall we do? That they say, wait a minute, this Jesus you talk about, we crucified, in that case, we're responsible. So we need to respond to that. What shall we do? That was the question they're asking the apostles. What shall we do? Peter replied, repent and get baptized, every one of you. Repent, change your mind. Change the way you think. Change how you're behaving. Come a different way. If you're going south, come north. If you're going east, come west. Repent, come a different way. Change how you're thinking. Change your behavior. Repent and get baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For forgiveness of sins. Of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we read this scripture as Christians who've gone through it, we understand the fact that I had to repent. Then I was baptized for forgiveness of sins. But we never dwell on, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we'll talk about Jesus is Lord, that means I need to submit, I need to come to things, or He's the Messiah, my personal Savior. But we never go to the point of, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's where I want to go today. Because when you get baptized, yes, your sins are forgiven, but also you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're visiting, you got to ask more questions. We'll show you how the Bible works and study the Bible together. We'll bring you to that space. You'll understand how all that works. So you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on to John 14 to now describe this well together. So we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at the point of baptism. It comes because we have come to a space of acknowledging that we need to make changes, and we submit ourselves to God, and because of that, we're hearing the Word of God. We say, you know what? I will submit. Now when we get baptized, we come to that baptism with faith. All right? That we're being baptized for forgiveness of sin, but also we're receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So John 14, are you there? I don't have PowerPoint. Today we are old-fashioned. We're not doing all the PowerPoint stuff. You only have to open the Bible. So if you didn't bring the Bible, you've got to hang tight and just pay attention and see where we go with it. Sometimes we change up stuff. Amen? Yeah. This is just how we did in the olden days when we didn't have PowerPoint. We woke up and just said, we're going to open the Bible. For the young folk, this is how we did it. Amen? But it's going to work anyway. So John 14, 15, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Let me hold it there. I wanted to make this very clear, that at the point of baptism, you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, in John 14, they've had a conversation. There was a time there, Philip was saying, show us the Father. And actually, in this same chapter, and Jesus says, don't you know the Father? Have you not seen me? I am the Father. If you've seen me, you know the Father. Does that make sense? So clearly, as human beings, we tend to think there's something else. There's something else. But the truth is right before us. And Jesus is saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then he talks about it, says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Now, let's connect this to Acts 2. When they heard what the God had said about, when Peter told them about who Jesus was, they responded by saying, what shall we do? They were feeling, wait a minute, we need to respond to this. They were not responding from a position of guilt. They are responding from a position of love. So Jesus is repeating the same word, says, you know what? If you love me, you will obey my commands. Unfortunately, when we hear the word obey, it tends to come from something somebody's trying to control. Somebody's trying to tell me what to do. Somebody's taking away my rights. Somebody's taking away who I am. Somebody thinks I can't think for myself. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to wait until I agree with them. You see, that is not of God. That is of society. That is of society. Obey, obey, obey. Now, God says, if you love me, that if you come to a place of, oh my goodness, this is what you did for me, you died on the cross for me, then I will obey you because I love you.
Amen, that's right.
Love is a powerful word. You submit yourself to God because of love. Not because you're afraid to go to hell. It's a reality, but that's not the reason you're submitting yourself to God.
Right.
You're submitting yourself to God because you love God. Amen. You're falling in love with God. But many people become Christians who come to church and all they hear is guilt, 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 shame, guilt, guilt. Why? Because they have not taken time to understand what does it mean to be in love with God. It means to understand what is done for you, that you have to go back and understand that in the Old Testament, the way people were saved, they waited for the prophet or the priest once a year to go to the inner room to do that cleansing and bring the animals and all that stuff, and that's not happening. I'm bringing my son to die for you because I love you guys so much that I am doing this out of love. So can you respond in love and obey me? That is the question I want to put to you today. For the Spirit to work, you must be in love with God. So I want to ask the question, how is your love affair with God? It talks about love is patient, love is kind, and there are many loves, agape and all that stuff. I'm not talking about a romantic love. I'm talking about where I'm just in love with God for who God is. And some of us, the reason we will not hear God's voice is because when we look at our life and do an audit, we tend to hear too many bad things. So because of so many bad things, we've stopped loving God. You know, that can happen. You can start asking, if God is there, why am I going through this? I will tell you this, that you don't love someone for what they've done for you. And that's part of it. But with God, you love them for who he is as well. Think about it. Mothers, let me talk to mothers. You love your children for who they are. I saw a quote. You can be a thief, you can be a murderer, but your mother will always love you. And I said, okay. I'm sure parents, fathers, we can relate to that business as well. And if you're not a parent, I'm sure you can connect to this idea. Does that make sense? That somehow the connection is always there. They're trying to fight for you. Does that make sense? So, unfortunately, when we think about love, we think, what have you done for me? Well, I'll give you a reason. Jesus died on the cross for you. He took your place. So if you understand love that in that sense, then you can begin to obey His commands. But if that is not, that piece is not functioning, the Holy Spirit business cannot even be talked about. Because you're not already in love with God, you've fallen out in love with God. So it's very hard to bring yourself to that space. And many of us have lost that piece of love because we equate lack of problem to God is walking in my life. That's not true. You can have problems and God is at work 100%. As a matter of fact, you will have problems, but God has never left you. But I'm walking on our hearts because we tend to move away from God when we have problems. We tend to shut down the Holy Spirit. We tend not to hear God when life is not playing to our ideal plan. You know how you all have this ideal here? It just be sealed. I mean, I've been cloud nine for the rest of my life. No. There's realities that life happens, that then you have to find God in those difficult situations and find hope in those difficult situations. That's why the Bible is written, for us to learn from those situations and have hope and not be beaten down by what is happening. It's a fallen world. It's not a perfect world. When we get to heaven, it's perfect. But this is a fallen world. But we can find God in this fallen world. Amen? That is how you spend. You start by, it says, if you love me, then you will obey my commands. That's where it starts. So, if you're in love with God, it says, you obey my commands, and I will ask my Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. So because now you're in love with God, the Bible says, wait a minute, Jesus says, I'm not just leaving you, I'll ask God to give you an advocate. In other words, the translation would be a comforter, an encourager, a counselor. He'll be there. But if you're not in love, will you hear that? I mean, take for a moment. You're walking around a place and you don't know, and you're walking around this place and you're not in love with that place. Do you even care to be there? You're not interested, right? Or someone. You're walking around a place with someone and you're not in love with them. Do you care to be around that person? You don't. But it says, I'll ask God now that you're obeying me in love. I'm going to have an advocate to counsel you, to encourage you. The reason that spirit doesn't work in our life sometimes is because we are not aware that we have them around us. We want to do life without Him. We want to do life on our own. So because we don't pray enough and ask God, show us what your will is, we're just doing life. And He says, no, I'm not just leaving you guys. I'm leaving, yes, but I'm going to give you a counselor. I'm going to ask God to bring an advocate to help you. But it starts with you're in love with God. You're hearing Him. You're submitting. So because you're submitting, you're able to listen to the counselor, to the advocate, to the encourager to get you through life. So I would say this to us, that it's possible that the reason you have such a hard time is when it comes to this encourager, you don't pay attention. This encourager is found in the truth, in the Word of God, the truth. That's when, we'll see that in a moment. The truth is in the Word of God. He'll begin to guide you. You know how you don't know what to do and you haven't prayed about it? You haven't read the Bible about it? You know when you get angry? How many of us get angry sometimes? You know what happens? You're just shut down. You're like, David says, I was a brute beast. That's how David describes it. I was a brute beast. I couldn't hear you, but God, you came for me. And I was led. I was under refuge. We become some brute beast sometimes when we're angry. But sometimes we take that culture of brute beast and just shut God out forever. So we just live a life of, I'm going to do my things the way I know how. He says, no. You have the Holy Spirit to advocate for you, to encourage you, to counsel you. Are you being counseled by the Spirit? You take the Word of God, that's where the Spirit comes through. It will counsel you. His voice will come and counsel you to do what you need to do. You'll be encouraged by hearing the Word of God. You'll be directed. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in us. Yet we don't go there. We don't go there as much and hear, okay, what does God say to us? In fact, Some of us are taking so much time ruminating in our problems. You know when you just ruminate on your problems? I don't know how many of you grew up on a farm, but the cows sometimes sleep around about 4 and 6 in the evening. And they just start ruminating and eating, bringing back some food and eating it and chewing it out. And they do that the whole night. They're just doing that. Now that's, if you didn't grow up around farms, you can take a trip and see what happens. But it just ruminates, just like you're chewing on the same issue. By the time morning comes, God is not in the picture at all. The Holy Spirit is not speaking at all. All is the thoughts and all the negativities and all the stuff that you've been thinking has taken charge of your soul, and the Spirit has been shut out. Because all you do is ruminate on the same stuff. So you keep that going and going. Before you know it, the Holy Spirit has stopped walking. And it talks here very clearly that I'm going to ask him to be there. So he's there. The Holy Spirit is with us. It's whether we allow him to speak to us or we just ruminate on our problems and what's not going right. I say that then. He says here that I'll ask God to give you an advocate. And then verse 17, an advocate to help you and be with you forever. The reason he says forever was if a priest died, we had to wait to get the next priest to come in office before we could do the forgiveness of sins again and all the ceremonies they did in the Old Testament, right? Jesus done his forever with us. He's never gone. You're not waiting for another priest to come and be put in place. He's always there. The Spirit is always there. It's whether you pay attention to it, but it's always there. It's not like a GPS, it goes on and off. It's always there. Whether you pay attention to it is another issue. And you can get in the habit of paying attention to it. Not in a very, sometimes we get superstitious. Something said to me and whatever stuff. Come on, read the Bible and pray about it and things will become clear. God will direct you from that direction. Let's not get superstitious about the Holy Spirit. In fact, many of us were raised with very superstitious ideas about the Spirit. For example, in my tribe, if we name people according, I'm named after my grandfather. So there are many Mukenyas that go around. And if my grandfather misbehaved and was a bad person, that name is cut out. Because that spirit has become bad from the dead. So cut the name. We no longer discontinued. We no longer make the Mukenyas. We're out of that. We're done with those names. We're making new names. It's a serious business how you behave. How I behave can cut my name out. But if you grow up thinking like that in the spiritual direction of how you see things, when you read the Bible, you think like that. What do you think about graves? When you go past the graves, there are spirits and all that stuff. You may disturb them. It's true to a certain, it may be true to a certain degree, and there are many movies now that talk about spirits like that. But you have to ask yourself, what are you listening to? Are you listening to God's Spirit? Are you listening to God's Spirit? There may be other spirits, I'm not going to deny that. But are you listening to God's Spirit? And that's what he's talking about here when he asks us to, you know what, he's there forever. 17, the Spirit of Truth. Other spirits are not the spirits of truth. This is a spirit of truth. We know that the Word of God is truth. Now, we live in a time when everybody is very relative about truth. Here's what I'll say. Your experience is your experience, but the truth of God is not relative. Let me be clear again. Your experience is your experience, but the truth of God is not relative. When you find it, it begins to move us like nobody's business. Does that make sense? In other words, if you lose a loved one, you're going to experience mourning or grief very differently. I'm going to experience it very differently, but when I come to God, he's going to move me. He's going to heal me just like he heals you. We may have very different experiences, but when we come to God, he begins the healing process. For everybody, he's going to heal you in a very different way. Does that make sense? So it's the Spirit of Truth. And that's what you got to ask yourself, how much am I spending time just figuring out God and saying the Spirit of Truth, where is that? So he says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. When you get baptized, the Spirit lives in you, and you know him because you've seen the Word of God, and you've seen how the Word of God changes your life. But somewhere within our walk with God, the change can stop because we've stopped paying attention to that. I have a question for you. Do you know the Spirit? Do you understand it lives within you? Do you pay attention that sometimes it's just you can feel out of whack, like you're not paying attention to God anymore? You don't care. You've really grieved the Holy Spirit there. Now I'll get to that in a moment, but it says it lives in you. The world does not know the Spirit. Why? Because they don't know what it looks like. I think it's important that we really get this one down. Have you ever played a game where you have someone trying to guide you and they've blindfolded you and they're trying to guide you? And when you play that game, they're trying to guide you. You try go left, go right, and things are going. And sometimes you're like, well, how does this work? It's very hard to trust. Initially, you're listening, then you just start guessing. Initially, you're trying to pay attention, especially when the clock is on. You have to do this by this time. Initially, you listen, then you realize, I don't think it's helping me. I'm just going to have to do what I want to do. And you try your own things, and you never get to that space. Sometimes you lose. I think spiritually we can do that. Sometimes we stop paying attention. It's just, I'm going to do what I have to do. I say this because I think, honestly, life is easier and simpler when you pray and read the Bible and say, God, what are you saying about these things? Not, God, you said this, and I've read in the Bible, and I've prayed, but I also still think this. Yeah. That battle is real, though, because deep down, we have ourselves. We want to do our own thing. That battle is real. But when you come to the space of, I will trust you in what you're doing right now, like you say, wait, I'll just wait. But in my world, wait means I'm not motivated enough, and I'm feeling like I can't just wait. Sometimes you just need to wait. You don't have an answer, but God, I read the Bible, says be patient. I will be patient. That's the Spirit directing you. And then because you submit, you begin to be very open to God's will. The reason we're such having a hard time to hear God's voice is because permanently we have our this thing, I will do what I want, but what are you saying, God? I'll do what I want, but what are you saying, God? It's not coaching. It's not coaching, like my soccer coach would say, play this like that. This, we're playing 4-2-2, but don't you can when you get at the goal post, do what you want to do. It's not like that. You gotta pay attention to the Spirit all the way. I think that's hard in our time. It's a busy life. It's very hard to pay attention to the Spirit. I tend to feel that in my own experience, I pay attention in the morning pretty good. By midday, I think I'm a bit of, you know, just automated a little bit. Then I begin to see how I'm making so many mistakes and I'm getting frustrated. For me, anger and frustration is a sign that I'm out of walk with the Spirit. I have to come back to that space of patience, calmness, the fruits of the Spirit. Then I begin to hear. Does that make sense? So I'm saying that to us so that we can understand that if you don't do that well, you're going to have a hard time. So I want to call us to come back to paying attention to the Spirit all the time, not just in the mornings. Try and do that all the time. It says, you will know him. He will basically, he's right there. So the world doesn't know him because no idea how it looks like. Doesn't look for him. Is it possible you have no idea who the Spirit is like for you? It's simple. Read, pray, submit. Read, pray, submit. It's not a formula that works all the time because your emotions are going to be everywhere. But you got to submit yourself to God. Amen? So once we've gotten that, he says here, let me get myself back to this. Before verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He promises that I will not leave you as orphans. Being an orphan is a tough thing. If you talk to me about having a mother, I have no clue. Because my mother died when I was 1 year, 8 months. 1 year, 8 months old. So to many ways, yeah, I have a stepmom, don't get me wrong, and she's awesome. But in many ways, When I hear people talk about their mother, sometimes I'm not able to connect 100%. But if you talk to me about a dad, I connect like nobody's business. Because that's the guy that raised me single-handedly, you know, all the stories we've had from as much as memory can serve me. So that connection is there. Where you're an orphan, you have to work very hard to connect to things. Because you don't know how it functions. You don't know how a mother looks like. You don't know how a father looks like. It's a tough place to be. But Jesus promises, in this journey of spiritual walk, I haven't left you like an orphan. I have given you the Spirit. Will you let Him guide you, though? Or will you come to this space of being an orphan? And I know some of you are orphans, so you understand what I'm talking about. The majority of us are not orphans, so that's a story I can only tell. But I'm saying it's a hard thing to do. When people say, man, they'll miss their dad. When I listen to that song of Mama, it doesn't do anything for me, but I say it's well sung. It's very soulful. It's soulful, but it doesn't do anything for me. I'm like, if everybody else is crying, I'm like, what's the problem? It's mother. You understand? It's not lack of connection. It's just I haven't connected that way. Similarly, if you don't connect to the Spirit, it's just another. Yeah, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Why do we need to talk about that? That's too much of a heavy subject. Let's just talk about practical stuff. You see how we escape from this stuff? No, we've got to ask ourselves, how much are we submitting to the Spirit? And when it's simply put down is, how much are you hearing God's voice? Accepting, saying, God, this is true. I'll do what you say. So, I spent a lot of time explaining all that. Just how to recognize it, making sure that what the Spirit is. So I'm going to talk about, finally but not least, just very quickly, on Ephesians 4, verse 30 to 31. Just stuff you can do to be on the same side, safe side. Ephesians chapter 4. If you're in Corinthians, just say, go eat popcorn, you'll find it. So you have to figure out ways of learning without the phone. Okay, Ephesians 4 verse 30, 31, let's finish here. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's the day you got baptized. It says, Jesus is Lord. You received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he had been says, you know, whenever you speak before that, build each other up. Then he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit from whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. When we got baptized, all of us, anyone who is baptized in the name of Christ, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't grieve it. In other words, discourage it. Make it not speak to you or just shut it out. But let's talk about this very quickly because of time. It says here, it says that, do not grieve this Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. So how do you make sure you're not doing that? Number one, there is get rid of all bitterness. The Bible talks about how bitterness is poisonous. It spreads. If something happens to you and you keep thinking about how that was wrong and that was so bad, it will take root in your heart. If failure happens to you and you keep saying, how could that happen to me? It'll take root in your heart. At some point, something happens that is wrong, and it is wrong. We cannot justify that. But at another point, you have ingested it so much, now you're poisoning yourself. At some point, I knew that I was lactose intolerant. I knew that, but I kept taking my ice cream and everything else and kept going. My chocolate, I was doing that like, and I was bloating and all kind of issues were happening and I was breaking out, my skin was doing all kind of things. At one point I knew I'm not supposed to be on this diet, but I was having it anyway. It's not wrong that the cows gave milk. That's not the problem. The problem is that I knew, but I still took it. At some point you know something happened, but you can't keep doing it to yourself again. When it happens the first time, it's wrong. It's not happened. It should not continue. But if you keep playing it in your head, you are now embittering yourself. At some point, you're ingesting it. You're letting it take over. And that's how you grieve the Holy Spirit. And if you think about your life, those things hold you back. That is the stuff you must stop. You need to let go, forgive, as God has forgiven you. We'll talk about that in a moment. But at some point, that grieves the Holy Spirit a lot, because whatever that is so big in your mind, in your life, takes over. Quietly takes over, like kudzu. And before you know it, that's the main thing. Does that make sense? So you don't grieve, you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, get rid of bitterness. So start some work on that. Go to Disciples in Motion. That's where you're going to help some help with that. Does that make sense? Rage and anger. That thing, we got to deal with that stuff. Does that make sense? Because it is pleasurable. When you're angry and after that, you feel good sometimes. It can be addictive. You got to get out of that space and be patient, calm, peace-loving, caring. The fruits of the Spirit, joy, Galatians 2:5-22, right? Go back to the fruits of the Spirit. So let's get out of raging. Raging is just another way of trying to control people. It doesn't work. But it's there. But you can get angry. Anger in itself is not sin. It's what you do. Because James says righteousness, anger does not bring about righteousness that God desires. So watch your anger. When you're angry, how you respond, hit the pause button before you get out. Amen? Then you can go deal with anger in a godly way. You'll be angry. That's not sin. But when you act out, you get in this space, it just kills what you're doing. Then it says, get rid of rage, anger, brawling. I hope you don't like brawling, just arguing for the sake of arguing. And slander. Let's talk about that because we're in the South here. We got to talk about this business. Sometimes we talk behind people too much. We can get caught in that storytelling. Did you know? I heard, I saw, have you seen, have you heard, I was told. I like to say your Kingdom News Network. But not in a healthy way. You just bring gossip and slander. You know, honestly, it doesn't pay to talk negatively about people. If a brother or sister will talk to you about something, let it end there and we have a conversation, it's done. You don't need to tell them. They tell you their own personal thing. Don't go broadcast it somewhere else. Just let's talk about it and be done with that. And we've got to do a better job even with our leadership, even with the people that serve us. Sometimes we're complaining about them. Does that make sense? Just talk to them. Don't just talk on the side. Just talk to the person you feel like, I need to talk to this person. Maybe it's your family group leader. Go talk to them. Amen? Amen? Maybe it's the elders. Go talk to them. Don't just talk on the side and feel all this stuff and that and that and that. It's very negative. Does that make sense?
Right.
Talk to them. Maybe it's me. Come talk to me. I'm happy to have a conversation. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Maybe it's the guy next door. Go talk to them. Don't just talk beside. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's negative. It brings just takes away the work of the Spirit when we are like that. So let's learn to talk about one another, not just the other way and talk on the sides. It's not helpful. Then it says here, at the end of it, it says malice. We can be vengeful, vindictive, because you did this to me, I'll do this to you. Very malicious. Have you seen people who are very vindictive? I won't talk to you, you won't talk to me. It's not a healthy way of living. You're refusing, you're denying the work of the Holy Spirit when you're in that space. The last time I said hello to him, they were not nice to me. I'll never say hello to them. How can you say that? One time? Never? Maybe they're in a bad state. Maybe they lost something they really loved. You can use... We have to be careful about how we become malicious. Malicious is very easy to do in church. We avoid that person. We avoid each other. That's not healthy. We got to really be there for one another. Oh, I'm not sure they'll understand me. Come and say, you know what? I want to say something, but I'm not sure they'll understand me, and I'm afraid to tell you that. That's a vulnerable space to be. And I say, I want to talk about it, but I'm not sure you will understand where I'm coming from. That's okay. Let's talk about that stuff. Amen? But when we become malicious, we play games. You wonder, why are we like this? one up, one down mentalities and all just walks in the church and the Holy Spirit dies out. We've got to be loving, caring, following up on one another. Why? Because we love God. So let's get rid of that stuff. Then he says this. He says at the very end, get of malice, be kind, compassionate. Kind is part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Compassionate to one another, forgive each other, just as Christ forgave you. That's the standard. So I got to ask you a question. How is your kindness going? Just kind. It's not weakness, by the way. How kind are you? I know you're kind to people that are kind to you. I'm talking about those that are not kind to you. How kind are you to those people? If I show any kindness, they're going to show weakness. No, you got it wrong. Boast in weakness. That's what Paul talks about. We'll talk about that next week, God willing. But are you kind to these people? What about compassionate? That you do something. Because when you're not compassionate, you hold your heart back. I'm not going to be compassionate. Do something for them. You know, if you do something because they did something for you, you're a victim for that person. But if you're grounded in God, you will do it for God anyway. Don't be a victim for that person. You will do it for God anyway. And finally, forgive. Not because they changed. Forgive for yourself, like Christ forgave. Christ forgave us not because we changed. He died on the cross before we even made that first move. Now we began to make the move after we understood it. Oh my goodness, he died on the cross for me. Now we began to make the move. That is how you let the Holy Spirit work. You start to respond to the Bible teachings. You start to say, I'm submitting to what the Bible says. That's when the Spirit begins to flow in our lives. We respond to the Bible, the Spirit begins to flow. We don't respond to the Bible, the Spirit cannot work with us. Because there's no water, the channel to walk through. The channel of the Spirit is that we have to be responding to the Word. That's when transformation happens. So this morning, church, I wanted to talk about this. In my own life, I've been looking at this, and I wanted to realize I cannot put it in a title. It's hard to do that. Because there's so many things I didn't even get to, and so many scriptures I couldn't turn to. But, well, God giving us life, we'll come to it someday. All I want to say to you today is, can you start out today by being kind, compassionate, and forgiving, and let the Spirit lead you? God bless you.